You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly, the first episode of 2020. So, Happy New Year to everyone. On this week, I have a fantastic panel featuring me, myself, and your co-host, which is also me. It's just me this week. Apologies for, sorry to disappoint you. But the reason for that is something that I'm going to get into. And before we get into the movie that we're going to review this week, which is Mard Ko Dard Nahi Hota, I'm going to talk about a little bit of some things we're going to try differently in 2020. So first of all, thank you for all the listeners who have stuck with us so far. I started this podcast in 2015. And throughout the time I've been doing the podcast, it has always been a kind of after-hours job for me, if you can say that. Well, I say job, I don't get paid. I make very little money off advertising. So it's not even that, but it's something that I do because I enjoy doing and that I'm passionate about. And one of the principles that I started this show is to really talk about the movies and the art, not about gossip and personal lives and this and that. And I think this is especially relevant today in 2020, where even a movie like Chapak, which has such a good cause and a noble message, is completely politicized because Deepika Padukone decides to go and attend a protest, right? And this podcast is not going to get into like the politics and all of this, but what I wanted to say, which I completely lost track of, was that, you know, over time that I've been less and less able to do this podcast regularly. And we've received a lot of feedback from you listeners talking about how much you love the show, but how it's frustrating that there's just a lack of regular releases. And that is completely valid. I also feel that frustration myself, and I feel that I wish I could do more, but it is just very difficult to manage given that I have a full-time job as well, and getting coordinating schedules, getting people who actually want to watch the same movie, then getting them to be willing to be on the podcast, coordinating times, etc. It basically creates a lot of back and forth, and a lot of movies fall through the cracks. And by the time I'm able to actually do a review, maybe it's 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, in which case I'll still do it. But the first year or so of the podcast, I was actually be able to do it very regularly every week. Unfortunately, I don't see a path to go back to that, at least while I continue to do my day job and given the nature of my day job. But there are some things that I can do and that I want to do to try and create more regular content. So I think, A, from 2015 to now, the way in which audiences and people consume films has changed quite a bit. You have much higher prevalence of Netflix, Amazon, Hotstar, Jioplay, Vodafone Play, all these, all the OTTs. I think the immediacy of I need to get this review done so that people can decide whether or not to watch this movie in the theater is probably less, because a lot of people are now, I think, not going to the theater as often except for like the very big movies, and waiting to watch on Netflix or on Amazon, etc., Hotstar. And I think also the other factor in that is that a lot of movies now immediately come to OTTs within a couple of months of release. So it's actually not such a long time window any longer. So what I want to do is I want to try out a new format, which I'm calling One Take, because A, I'm just going to record it in one take, a very quick, simple review without the whole panel and discussion and back and forth, without any trailers, nothing. And also because you fundamentally get only one take as opposed to multiple different takes from different panelists who might be here. So that is my attempt. People who know me know that I love puns. So yeah, take it or leave it. And if you're here, I assume, I hope you will take it. The reason I hesitated to do this is that the one solo episode I did was early on in 2015. And it was the lowest viewed, lowest watched, lowest downloaded episode that I've done. It could also be because of the content. It was about Masaan and independent films in general, which I guess by default has a smaller audience. So I'm hoping if I do more popular films, that may not be the case. So I am going to give myself another shot. This is probably then the wrong movie to choose, because I again picked a small indie film that many people would not have heard of. But it's actually, it's really good. And I just watched it, so it's kind of fresh in my memory. So I wanted to do that. So that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And if you don't, then please let me know in the feedback. I will anyway also do more well-known popular films. And but I want to also make sure that on this podcast, given that one of my principles is to be true to filmmaking and true to the craft, that we actually have good representation of all kind of films, right from the masala heavy films to the small indie films and everything in between. So one last thing to close it out. For the new movies, I am still going to try to have the regular format with the panel, with the discussion, with the trailer reviews and all of that, because I do think that is more fun and more engaging. I will try to make that happen. But in case it doesn't, I will then consider probably doing a solo episode on that. And also in parallel, I am also going to do more of these one takes to review movies in the last couple of years or beyond that we've actually missed out on. So I've been doing this catch-up format for a while. Bollywood Weekly Catch-Up is what I kind of tag those episodes as. I don't know if anyone has noticed. But those episodes are the same format, but about films that we maybe didn't review when they released, but have now reviewed a few months later after they've come on Amazon, etc. Because I don't have someone in front of me to cut me off, I have to somehow try to be host and guest at the same point. So I'm going to cut myself off and leave it there. But TLDR, long story short, hopefully a lot more content coming out close to every week, if not every single week. This is, of course, based on listener feedback. What I'm hearing from you guys is I think that you would appreciate more content being put out, even if it's not the latest movie every single week. And let's try this and hope that I am actually able to make it happen. And I really want to make it happen, so I will do my best. Whew. That took a lot longer than I expected, but that's good for the one take episodes, because I don't think anyone wants to listen to my voice for so long. These episodes are going to be a lot shorter from a very practical perspective. Makes it easier for me to actually edit and then release the episodes. But another big reason for the delays is that I actually do everything myself. So I record, I edit, I, you know, upload, publish, release everything. So and the editing actually takes quite a while, or can take quite a while. So I'm purposely making them shorter, which means I spend less time editing, so I can release the episode soon. So there have been times in the past, like Houseful, for example, where I actually watched the movie the weekend it came out, but then took me one more week to find someone to do the podcast, and then took me another 2 weeks to actually complete the edit. Just literally squeezed time wherever I could from between my work and personal schedule. So this is not meant to be an excuse or a complaint. I am just letting you guys also know that I know, as a listener, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. It's very frustrating when podcasters don't upload regularly. And I want you to know that I hate to be putting you as the listener in that situation. I hate to be in that situation myself as the producer and host of this podcast, but we will try to do the best. I say we, it's actually just me. I don't know why I keep saying we, but we will try to do the best that we can to make this happen. Okay, enough BS. Now, Mard Ko Dard Nahi Hota is a very interesting film, and it's a film that I heard a lot about and was very curious about when it came out. And it's one of those films which gets a lot of buzz within the film community, like hardcore film buffs or people who work within the film and media industry. A, because it's written and directed by Vasant Bala, who is one of these newer young talents who has been part of the kind of Anurag Kashyap stable of talent, which is considerably lesser known stable of talent than, say, the Karan Johar stable of talent, but is interesting nonetheless. You know, you have people like Vasant Bala, like Shlok Sharma, like Hansal Mehta, who have produced a lot of smaller independent films that have gotten really, you know, critical acclaim and won national awards and stuff. And these are the kind of movies that get, you know, cinephiles, quote unquote, very excited. Because it's like, oh, this is so different from the usual Bollywood nonsense. And it's so fresh and it's so this thing. And to be honest, a lot of the time I watch those films and I'm like, I mean, okay, I can kind of appreciate the craft, but it's at the end of the day, I really believe that cinema is entertainment, right? And entertainment doesn't mean it has to be fun and uplifting or happy. It can be dark and edgy and gritty, but it has to engage the audience, right? I'd look at, say, Udta Punjab as an example of a movie that is not very mainstream. And that may be a bad example because it still has kind of like songs and music and stuff, but maybe like Talwar, which is very gritty and hard and about a very serious topic, but it really grips you, right? It hooks you as an audience. You feel emotions. You want to be engaged with the audience. And I feel like a lot of the independent films don't always turn out that way. So, for example, I watched Shlok Sharma's film Haram Khor, or I tried to watch it rather. And I was just, I don't know, I just didn't really feel or couldn't really feel the connection or feel the appreciation for that film as much as I hoped or expected. Which is why I think the sad part about those films is that whether it's good or bad, they kind of tend to disappear anyway. You have to kind of really do something exceptional to rise up above the kind of mainstream consciousness, I guess you would call it. So this was a film which was, you know, in terms of buzz, very similar. Something that people, the casual observer or the regular day-to-day follower of Bollywood would not really know. Because it's being produced by Ronnie Screwvala, fine. But it doesn't have any big names attached to it. Vasan Bala is a debut director, has no real rep to speak of. He has, though, done some interesting stuff. He is the writer for Raman Raghav 2.0. And also for Bombay Velvet, which, of course, commercially was a disaster. So maybe things would have been different if that film had done well. And he was also the dialogue consultant for The Lunchbox, which is one of those films, the small indie films, which did actually rise above and make it to kind of national consciousness. So he has some pedigree, but he's not a household name. No one is going to know who he is. The actors, I mean, the most famous actor is Gulshan Devia, who is not going to get people to theaters, right? The lead actor, quote-unquote, even though Gulshan Devia is kind of given top billing, which I found a bit surprising. But the lead actor is this guy called Abhimanyu Dasani, who actually did a very good job. I'll speak more about him later. And the lead actress is Radhika Madan, who I was mind blown by. I was just completely taken aback by how great she was, how fresh she was, how talented she was and is. It's her second film. She was part of Vishal Bharadwaj film Pataka, which came out in 2018, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, so this film, after like quite some good buzz, but no real names to attach it to, didn't particularly do well at the box office, even though it had done well at festivals. And I thought, okay, fine, this is probably just another one of those typical festival films which some niche cinema goer will really enjoy. But the average person is going to be like, this is too dense or too slow or too something or the other and wouldn't enjoy it, right? But I thought, let's give it a go, because everyone who I had seen who had actually watched the film really enjoyed it. And so I watched the film, and the first half, I will say, was excellent, because it has a very kind of funky and wacky title, right? Like Mard Ko Dard Nahi Hota. So without knowing anything about the film, I assumed it would have something to do with kind of masculinity and femininity and what it means, and you know, with some of those undertones. It's nothing at all to do with that. It's actually about this guy who has a medical disorder, which is called, if I get it right, congenital insensitivity to pain, which literally means he cannot feel pain, which I thought is a very interesting premise for a movie. Because the initial thing that you think is, oh, this guy can't feel pain. That means he, you know, you hit him, nothing happens to him. He's going to be super strong, super like whatever. But actually, it's the opposite, because when you stop and think about it, pain is critical for the human body because it teaches you what to do and what not to do, right? If you put your hand on a gas stove, you feel the heat and you feel pain. So you put your hand away immediately. If you just can't feel pain, you leave your hand there and then your hand gets burnt. Or if you accidentally cut yourself with a knife, or if you bang your head against the table or something, right? you don't feel the pains, and so you think it's okay, even though your bones might be broken or you might be severely injured, but your body has no way to actually transmit that to your brain, and so you don't actually take any corrective action. And so the movie is kind of about him, but it's the treatment is very interesting because it basically is treated like a very typical movie, like gimmicky movie format. So it's in a very light-hearted way, and it's this guy in his head is the action hero and wants to be the action hero who doesn't feel pain. But the reality is a bit different, right? And so it's told through that lens, and it's very interesting because a lot of people say they don't like to go for serious movies because you go to movies for entertainment, for escapism, and that's a lot of times that's the excuse that people give for movies like A Houseful or a Dhamal, Total Dhamal, whatever, right? As saying, yeah, we know these movies are unrealistic and not a good reflection of what life is, but we still go to that to enjoy it and to laugh and to do whatever, right? And my view on that is that I think, yeah, today, at least in Bollywood, there are these two extremes where either things are very hardcore, very gritty. I don't know, like I mentioned Talwar before, or like Chapak, or like a Pink, for example, right? Or it is just completely at the other end, where it's just slapstick ridiculous, where you can't take anything seriously that's happening. Films like any Salman Khan film, most Akshay Kumar Houseful genre films, a lot of Shah Rukh films as well, Dilwale and Chennai Express, that kind of stuff, right? Happy New Year. And what I think a mark of a very good film is, or a space where I think films work, is where you actually have, okay, we accept that cinema is a visual spectacle. It's something which is not, doesn't have to reflect reality, but you create a world wherein certain things exist. And there's this concept called willing suspension of disbelief, where you say, okay, I am buying into this world, and so things have to make sense within this world. Things like, you know, a lot of fantasy films probably fall into this genre, or like, you know, Pan's Labyrinth, for example, which is, of course, a Spanish film. Or even Jagga Jasus, right? To take a recent Bollywood example, which might be easier. Like, it's a musical. It's something where, you know, he is this pseudo detective going around trying to solve mysteries. And yeah, you know, things are not realistic, quote unquote, but you immerse yourself in that world and you enjoy it. And this film is basically doing that, but it creates this world within the real world. So it's really this world told through the eyes of the protagonist of how he sees life. And I just really enjoy the treatment. So there's like a lot of crazy action sequences, and a lot of them are dreams as well. Like, it doesn't actually happen. And there's a really clever technique that they do where they almost go into slow motion, and they show Surya, who's the main character, and they in slow-mo go through like a full action sequence where he goes, he beats up this guy, he rescues the girl, he jumps from the building, he does this and that, and everything is done and he's like smiling. And then they cut back to where he was, where the slow motion is, and then show what actually happens, which in reality ends up being quite different. And one thing that really stands out is, I think, the quality of the action sequences. Bollywood has a very bad rep for action sequences because they tend to be very fake and unrealistic. But this film actually does a very good job. The only thing that's not realistic is how talented the characters are. But even that you can justify because they're mostly trained in martial arts. And you know, getting into the story and why that is, basically Surya, when he is diagnosed with this illness, his grandfather makes him watch a lot of movies to make him kind of not, and he doesn't want him to basically feel as though he's inferior. So he shows him a lot of like movies which are like underdog stories, you know, Karate Kid and stuff like that. And he gets bullied at school because you tell a bunch of kids, hey, there's this kid who doesn't feel any pain. The natural response is that let's test this out and see how far this goes. And so these action movies, including the Bruce Lee, Jet Li, that kind of stuff, are kind of his escape and his way to feel good. And his grandfather kind of teaches him life lessons through this. And he also has an issue with dehydration because his body can't tell when he's getting dehydrated. So he actually goes everywhere with a camel back, which is like what marathon runners use to put on their back, and you can drink water through a pipe. And these like goggles which protect his eyes and this thing, so to make sure that nothing happens to him, like by accident or whatever. So he actually lives this very sheltered life, but through these movies he is able to imagine himself in these situations. And there's a lot of kind of pop culture references and stuff for like very niche cinephile movie buffs, which you will probably get a kick out of if you are that kind of person. I am probably not, to be honest, even though I host a podcast reviewing movies. But I'm not like a big fan of like 70s and 80s film. I haven't grown up watching movies per se. So a lot of those references, I kind of didn't really understand, or they kind of flew over my head. But the good thing is, even if you don't get it, it's fine, because it's really just like, doesn't affect the story at all. It's more like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to people who have also watched these films. For example, there's a scene where one of the characters, side characters, is trying to get this gun. And the kind of security guard is being like, where's your registration? Where are your documents? This and that, right? And I don't want to ruin the scene too much, because it's a really funny scene in the movie. And finally, he picks up his rule books and he says, rule number THX1138, which for me is just, okay, that's just a rule number he's pulled out and the story continues. But THX1138 is actually George Lucas's first film before Star Wars. Things like that, like small little things here and there, like little like Easter eggs scattered around, which if you get, you get, and that'll add to your enjoyment. But if you don't get, you will still enjoy. And I think, to be honest, the second half of the film falters a little bit, because it starts getting a little too unrealistic, because the way they've created this world is like, this world is still real, but it's told through the eyes of Surya, and so certain things are exaggerated and caricatured and things like that. But the instances that happen up to a point are real, until at the end where it's not. And to me, it got a little bit gimmicky towards the end, and the fight sequences probably went on a little too long. But it doesn't really diminish from the overall quality of the film. And you still are hooked and you're still enjoying the film. And to be honest, I think I'm probably in the minority of people who feel this way, because I still look for, you know, I want films to be kind of consistent and believable throughout, whereas a lot of people are okay for films to take some liberties and go beyond and push the boundaries a little, right? Which is pretty much what happens here. But overall, I think this is an excellent film. I really recommend watching. If you're on Netflix and you're struggling to find things to watch, give this a go. Just don't think too much about it. Given that it has nobody that you know, you will probably come in with very low expectations, and you will be very pleasantly surprised. I can guarantee this. But I think what really makes it stand out is the acting. Abhimanyu Dasan, who plays Surya, he's a debut actor. It's his first film. So he's quite raw. But that fits in a lot with the character, because it's a character who is still, at the age of 25 or whatever, very childlike in his essence and very naive in some ways, because he's lived this sheltered life and he believes that, you know, things are right and wrong. And there's this whole running underlying narrative. Where, and minor spoiler alert, doesn't change the whole thing, but his mother was actually killed on her way back home from the hospital because a chain chore, like a petty thief, actually snatched her chain while she was on the bike. And they tried to fight her off, and the bike kind of toppled over and they fell. Father and son were injured, but nothing serious, but the mother was killed. And so part of his underlying personal narrative is that he wants to avenge the death of his mother by catching all the chain chores in the world. But he really is able to embody that essence and that childlike quality throughout the film, and just does a fantastic job. And there are a lot of really funny moments in the film. I think his comic timing that he's displayed, whether by design or by good direction or by talent, is really, really enjoyable. I think Gulshan Devia as well deserves a mention, because he's someone that, to be honest, I have written off a bit in the past because of the kind of films he's done, which I suppose is not particularly fair, but, you know, it is what it is. He has a double role in this film. One role is Karate Man, a one-legged karate instructor who Surya treats as kind of an idol. And the other is his twin brother, who is a quote-unquote cliche psychotic villain, which is how actually Surya describes him in the film. Just amazingly funny, right? Like, if you like the typical cliche psychotic villains of the 80s and 90s cinema, like Mogambo and stuff like this, he is like an homage to those guys. And there are a lot of really funny moments And I think his karate man role is a bit weaker, but his Jimmy role, which is the villain, is just really phenomenal. And, you know, credit where credit is due. I think he's done a very good job. And a lot of the second half of the film, his character is part of the reason why it gets very zany and unrealistic, but it's also a lot of the entertainment and enjoyment comes from it. So I guess, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. So both these guys did a great job. I think even supporting actors like the father and the grandfather have also done very well. And, you know, there's no real false note in the film. And but the star of the show by far is Radhika Madan. And her character is also very interesting and very layered. Probably the most layered character in the film. And it also touches upon a very important kind of societal issue, which is to do with Indian society and the role of women and patriarchy. And she has this abusive father growing up. And her mother is kind of very passive and doesn't say or do anything. And as a kid, Supri, her character, she's actually the one who will go and defend Surya when he's being bullied. And she'll go and she'll get into fights and beat up the boys and stuff. But then she gets into trouble and her father comes and her father actually beats her up. And so, again, very common situation, especially in kind of lower income groups, rural India, etc. And there's this dichotomy of you have this character who is a very strong character. So she grows up and she actually Karate Man kind of finds her on the road and takes her under his wing and trains her. And she, even as an older woman, early 20s, she is going around beating up people, really good fighter, really strong-willed, really strong-minded. But the second it comes to her husband, she completely becomes this very kind of subservient person. And her husband is just a nasty character, right? He's not physically abusive like her father was, but he is emotionally abusive in terms of he's very non-progressive. He doesn't want her to work, doesn't want her to drive. He makes her wear a bindi everywhere. And he's actually now taking care of her parents. And both her husband and her father are both there. And they're both these toxic, you know, epitome of toxic masculinity. And, you know, both the wives are kind of just stuck in this relationship and are kind of reluctant to let go because of societal pressures, because of just how that's how they've been drilled in, right? And so I really like her character because she is able to, A, be a part of this madcap adventures with Surya going around beating people and is just very fun and fiery, but also provides one of the main serious undertones in this film, which is really topical and thematic. And she does a fantastic job doing both. And, you know, the one thing that really struck me, apart from her, you know, her facial expressions, her action, everything was phenomenal. But the thing that really stood out for me is her dialogue delivery. And I find this problem in a lot of films across English and Hindi, or any other language for that matter, that characters' dialogues tend to be very dialogue-y, right? Like, they don't tend to reflect how people talk in real life. You can't imagine people having these conversations or talking in this exact way. There's always a note of exaggeration. There's a note of something over the top. Whereas with her dialogues, you always just feel like, yeah, I'm just seeing a real... This is how I imagine my friend talking or my cousin talking or someone, right? Like, you feel a very real connection. And there's this one sequence, especially, where she is talking to her mother. And her mother is actually telling her, like, hey, why are you, like, taking this guy's crap? You know, you're so strong. You have your whole life ahead of you. And she, you know, goes into this kind of monologue where she talks about, I sometimes look around the world and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Like, people who are like 21, 22 are becoming millionaire startup founders from scratch and accomplishing all these great things. And there are people who have got their whole life figured out saying, okay, I'll go do this. Then I'll go do my master's and then I'll go do something else. And I just have no idea. I don't know what I want to do. I'm completely blank. And that inner struggle, which is also why she doesn't want to run away and she's accepting this kind of subservient life at that moment in the film, is just, I thought, very relatable and very kind of real, right? A lot of young people struggle with this, saying, okay, I actually don't know what I want to do. And you sometimes look around and even other people may also not know what they want to do, but they always give off this aura or this impression of, I've got things figured out. And like parents are also a big part of this, right? They say, yeah, my son is doing this, my daughter has done this, and blah, blah, blah. And society in a way kind of fuels this thing that you need to have your life figured out and you have to know what to do. And it can be very easy to get lost. And I thought that that particular sequence where she's talking through this really kind of touched a nerve and really stuck with me, particularly for the realness and the raw emotion that came out. So I would say, if for nothing else, watch this film for Radhika Madan, because it's completely worth it. And I, to the point that I now actually want to go back and watch Pataka, because I just want to see more of her. And I really hope that she is able to kind of get a break and to be seen in more and more films and not just these smaller, lower budget films, because I really think she has the talent and the ability to do really well. So beyond that, it's a pretty short film as well. It's pretty tight. I think it's 2 hours, 20 minutes. Possibly could have been like 10 to 15 minutes shorter with some fewer fight sequences, this and that. But I mean, overall, I think a very good film. It's not, you know, to have some perspective, I've been very positive about this film. It's not like a masterpiece. It's not something that is going to go down in history as a film that has changed the landscape or has created some indelible mark. But it is a very enjoyable film and a very fun film. So I would definitely recommend watching it. I would say it's, you know, you're much better off watching this than a lot of other quote unquote mainstream Bollywood films out there. And I think it's a good way to get exposed to a different type of cinema, a different genre of cinema, right? I think that's one of the great things about Netflix, about OTTs. More and more people have a voice. So go ahead, give it out, give it a shot. And yes, hopefully you enjoy it as much as I did. And when you do watch it, let us know what you think in the comments, of course. And also, this is the first episode that I've tried this solo format. Hopefully this worked, but if it didn't, please let me know and tell me what I can change. I'm very much, I really want to make this work and do more and more podcasts like this. So, okay, that's me. See you guys next week.